Welcome to Hear These Words, a podcast from Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Tequesta, Florida. I'm David Dixon, the Youth and Family Minister.
I'm Derek Larson, Associate Rector here at Good Shepherd.
And we are joined today with Beth Bonsack, a parishioner here at Good Shepherd, as well as a vestry member. Say hi, Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Nice. Each week on the podcast, we discuss the passages of Scripture assigned for the upcoming Sunday. And this week, it is the 19th Sunday after the Pentecost, October the 16th, 2022. And the words we hear are from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 31, Psalm 121, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through chapter 4, verse 5, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Well, Beth, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So, what are some of the things that you do around this place? You know, you're just, I hardly ever see you.
You don't ever see me around church, do you? Well, I've been involved with the youth group for the past 7 years. So that's been one of my highlights as being a parishioner here. And then last year I joined the vestry, and then I'm helping out with discernment, and now I'm on the search committee. So I get to spend a lot of time here on the campus, which has been fun. It's kind of interesting. I've been a member here for almost 10 years, and my family goes way back, so I've been a visitor for my whole life. So it's kind of interesting. Nice. I didn't think I was a kind of old man on campus, but maybe I am. I don't know.
Well, as much time as you put into being right. here, I think that makes it, I mean, you're not just a Sunday.
No, no.
You are here a lot more than that.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I love it. It's a family and there is a place for you. So makes you feel good. So
what's one of your favorite memories of something you have participated in or done here around Good Shepherd?
Well, the youth. It's been exciting to see them go from middle schoolers to graduating high schoolers to college graduates. And I think seeing that change from when they grow up, going from, no, I'm not going to do that, or you really have to fight them to pick up trash, to being a right. leader and having them, that has been one of my favorite things to see, is that growth and understanding and coming into their own. So
for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah. Very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. It is. What's your favorite ice cream?
Mint chocolate chip.
Oh my Lord.
Nice. I heard Debbie. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, so today we're going to be talking about these texts, the first of which is from the Hebrew Scriptures with Genesis chapter 32. It is a pretty familiar story. Certainly, we hear it in children's Sunday school. We talk about some of the big stories in the Old Testament. It's about Jacob and Jacob wrestling with what many call an angel of the Lord, and you know what transpires during that episode. So what are your thoughts on it, anyone?
Well, so I had to look up a few words. So and then it got me to thinking, was Jacob really wrestling with somebody, or was he just wrestling with himself? Is kind of what I ended up coming down to, do you know, reducing it to. But because he named the unnamed man Peniel, which is face of God, so that's what kind of led me to think, well, maybe it was a dream and he was rolling, because he had sent everybody away and he's in rough terrain and dislocated his hip, but was able to move. I don't know. I wrote down divine shift. I don't know. Was that in the text?
I like it. There is a change that happens, right?
Right.
For sure.
Well, there's a change in name specifically,
correct.
Right? Jacob is then given the name Israel. And he's given that name because Israel literally means wrestles with God. Mm-hmm. And so this passage is a powerful passage because that's a powerful name, wrestling with God. And I love that image because then that word Israel, which is really just a name for Jacob, becomes the name of a nation. And the name of the nation right. is wrestles with God. And of course, that's the whole story of the Hebrew right. scriptures, is about this people that are continually wrestling with their faith, wrestling with God. Mm-hmm. And of course, we inherit that tradition as well as right. Christians. We often wrestle with God, and often, you know, we think that as a negative thing, but there's something really positive too when it comes to having these encounters with God mm-hmm. that we wrestle with. Like, it means that we care about our faith. It means that we are working hard at our faith. Mm-hmm. I think the context of the story is also really important, that this in this moment, Jacob is about to see his long-lost brother Esau, mm-hmm. who he backstabbed, basically, right. and had a horrible relationship with as they were growing up. And so he's really afraid to come and see this long-lost brother. Mm-hmm. And this is the night before he's going to see his long-lost brother Esau. And I just think that there's this powerful message in this passage that God meets us in the midst of our struggles, mm-hmm. in the midst of our broken relationships, and even in the midst of our wrestling with God, God's okay. self. God is present there, and that is a place where, as you've written, is a place for divine shift, a divine conversion. So it is a staple passage in the scriptures, and I think it's a really great one.
Yeah, I think that, Beth, what you pointed out is key to this passage. At least it is for me. And I mean, I grew up in an evangelical church, and I've kind of come at this from a bunch of different angles through the years. But what catches me every time I read it is this phrase that says, Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him. Mm-hmm. Now, if he's alone, how can a man wrestle with him, right? And so, you know, you have that side of the story that certainly we get in Sunday school with children, where Jacob's wrestling with an angel. It doesn't say Jacob wrestled with an angel in this passage. It says that he was left alone and he wrestled a man. And I think that you're onto something by saying he was wrestling with himself. He was wrestling with Israel. Jacob was tugging against this dual nature that was within him. And something had to give. Something had to change. And I think that the anxiety of meeting Esau and what lay before him was also something that factored into the entire experience. And out of that wrestling, he comes out a changed person, not only in name. And of course, the word name, when we read it in scripture, really speaks of nature, mm-hmm. Your character, your nature. But we see him limping. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, he could have fallen as he was hiking through the terrain. You know, that's fine. But regardless, he's not walking the same. Mm-hmm. His walk has changed. Mm-hmm. His name has changed. His identity has changed. He is no longer Jacob, the supplanter and deceiver. Mm-hmm. He is now the one who wrestles with God and prevails.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I love this story.
It's good. It is good. All right, we go down on to Psalm 121. Want to say something about this psalm, Father Derek?
Well, I think we're talking about Israel in the first passage, and this mm-hmm. is a psalm that's about Israel and Israel's God. So right there in the middle of the psalm in verse 4, it says, "Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And so now that we know what the word Israel means, we've got visitors knocking. Now that we know what Israel, the word Israel means, we could translate that also as, "Behold, he who keeps watch over those who wrestle with God."
Right.
Which I think is an interesting way to put it. But we can also, what I like about this passage is all the imagery about sleep, that that there's someone watching over us when we sleep, which is a very comforting thing. This, this passage is great for Compline and night prayers. But it reminds me of growing up. It reminds me of my parents, and my parents would put me to bed, and sometimes they'd watch TV after they'd put me to bed. And there was something comforting about hearing that TV going, because I knew my parents were up. I knew my parents were awake and alert, and I could fall asleep. And now that I'm a father, I see that same thing in, in my children, that there's something comforting about for my son, about knowing that his parents are awake and alert and ready. And that's the kind of image that's present here in this psalm, is that God is like our parent, who is up and ready and watchful while we are restful and asleep.
As you mentioned that, I grew up the same way. My parents would, you know, we'd pray, sing, and go to bed. And I'd usually ask, can you just wait until I'm my eyes are closed? So it was very comforting. It's very relaxing to know somebody is there. And as you get older, you know that there's another, you know, someone else out there who's looking out after you and maybe helping you get through any struggle you might be having.
That's true.
I wrote, God doesn't sleep so you and I can sleep.
That's good.
It's very comforting.
Good. Yes, it is. Absolutely. Good. I like it. The only other thing I saw in this passage, and I just wrote next to it, the verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. It is he who shall keep you safe. That's a big promise. I mean, that is a big promise. And how do we kind of wrestle with that if you've experienced any kind of evil? How does that work into your journey of faith and into your life of faith? How do you, what lens do you put on, you know, when you go back through your own narrative and begin to tell that story of faith? But God is there regardless of what we experience. And he brings us through for sure.
And sometimes it feels like God's not there, but God is often there, and God knows our suffering. I mean, God suffers along with us, which in itself is comforting.
He puts you right through what he thinks you can handle,
Absolutely. All right, and then we have the epistle lesson, which is from 2 Timothy. And there's some really interesting, you know, reading all of the text, as, you know, the preacher's job is somewhat difficult at times, because you have to, if you want to connect all the text, you need to find some kind of theme or a thread that runs through all of them. And as I was reading these texts, I was like, what is the thing that is connecting these? I mean, we certainly can connect the gospel with the wrestling over here in the life of Jacob, and, you know, talk about perseverance and, you know, this kind of consistency, not giving up, prevailing. And we'll get to the gospel in a minute. But here in the epistle lesson, you've got a lot going on about instruction and teaching and, you know, doctrine and gospel and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's kind of curious to me that that's where we are right there.
Although there is this line in here that is a little bit consistent with the theme, and it says, be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. But I think that that's sort of happenstance. I think that that is a coincidence there, because this, the epistle, of course, we are going through sequentially. So we've been working our way through 1 Timothy and now 2 Timothy. I think we're in 2 Timothy for another week or two. But yeah, where does it fit into the rest of our readings? I think it's an interesting question. For me, as I read this passage, I really see it as a pep talk. We've talked about how this is a letter written by Paul to one of his disciples, basically, Timothy. Paul is Timothy's mentor. And here he's giving Timothy a pep talk for when times get hard, which that is a theme that we can see in the Genesis and in the Luke passage. Is that you know, don't lose heart, as it says in the gospel. So this is a pep talk. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, he says. And I don't know if I'm just reading this into it, but I kind of see it as Paul is telling him to do three things. First, to remember where he came from. It says, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation.
Right.
So looking back, remember where you came from. And for Paul, you came from your community, and you came from the words of Scripture. That's the formative thing in your life. So remember where you came from, number one. Number two, remember whose presence you're in. So right here in the middle of the passage, it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly urge you. So it's sort of a present moment thing. Right now, remember whose presence you are in, and it's the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. So when whatever you're doing right now, remember that. And then number three, look to what's ahead. It says there's a time coming when people are not going to be living in a certain way, and you've got to be ready for that. Always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. So there's kind of this three-part thing in this passage of remember where you came from, remember whose presence you're in, and be mindful of what's to come and be ready for it.
So remember where you came from, remember where you are, and where you're going.
Yeah, I like that. And I wrote down the word persevere. So I when I was reading this, you know, it's kind of like remember what you've been taught, what you believe, where you're going, who you're with. But then also don't get down. Don't let the naysayers, the wandering, the ones who wander from truth to myth, you know, kind of try to bring them back, kind of persevere, which is our theme for youth group, which I think is always in my head these days. So I kind of was like, he's kind of telling him, like, keep moving, keep going forward, push forward. And so, and remembering what you've learned and what you believe. Kind of know who you are and the good work you're doing is kind of what I got out of it.
So. That's and I like that phrase, good work. Here it says, you know, do the work of an evangelist. And as a reminder, that that Greek word evangelism or even evangelion, it means good news.
It does.
So here, doing the work of an evangelist, Paul is telling Timothy, be a bearer of good news, of the good news. So that is quite literally the good work that Timothy is doing. It is bearing good news.
I like it. Good stuff. And then we move right along to our gospel text found in the Gospel of Luke. And this is one of those stories that, you know, a parable. And I do like what you pointed out, Father Derek, about kind of prefacing the story, Jesus saying that there's this need to pray always and to not lose heart. Hang in there, right? Don't give up. Don't lose hope. But, you know, pray and be persistent and persevere in the good times and in the bad times and in the ugly times. You know, just stay right in there, right?
Out of this, you know, I wrote, you know, at the ending, will he find faith on earth? And then I went back to the beginning, always pray and not lose heart, as the meaning of the prayer parable. So I had to read this a few times. I even went back to the previous chapter, and it didn't help me at all learning, understanding this one. So I took a lot of time to think and what is the meaning? And, you know, the fact that it's the judge, you know, and he says he's no fear of God, but he doesn't hold man to high regard. So my question, kind of like in Genesis, was he praying? Was he thinking aloud? Or, you know, did God send him a message through his thoughts about, you know, he repents. He forgives speedily. You know, if we pray and we confess and we kind of open our heart to, okay, this is what we've done wrong, God is okay. He kind of forgives us, whereas the judge, he had to have, you know, he had to think about it a lot and say, okay, am I going to vindicate? Well, I might as well. She keeps coming. I'm going to vindicate her, but not really. He's not listening to her. Mm-hmm. It's almost is what I got from it. Right. So it was interesting. And so, you know, did the judge want something in return, or, you know, what was the man looking for? Whereas, you know, God kind of forgives us mm-hmm. without us having like a give and take.
Right.
Interesting. That's kind of boring.
Well, we preached in a sermon a week or two ago about seeing Lazarus, mm-hmm. that the rich man never actually saw him as a person. And perhaps the same thing is happening here, that the unjust judge doesn't see the woman, the widow, as a fellow human being, as someone to care for and love. And in contrast to that, we know that we can depend on God mm-hmm. to see us, to mm-hmm. really see us, see and perceive us, to see right. us and to see our need, and to hear, and in this passage, to hear us, to mm-hmm. hear our cries, to hear our prayers, to hear what we need. And I think ultimately, for me, this passage is about trust, mm-hmm. trusting in a God that sees us and cares for our needs. And that's, I'll be preaching this Sunday about trust and mm-hmm. how trust can take a very active form. It's not just about sitting right. on your hands and giving it over to God, but it's about stepping out in faith and in action, believing that God's got your back, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what is striking me the most about this passage is that, you know, Jesus is encouraging his disciples to pray always and not to lose heart. And then he tells the story of a widow as an example of how to live a life of that strong faith, praying always and not losing heart.
Right.
And, you know, I know a lot of widows. We mm-hmm. have a lot of people in our community, mm-hmm. women who have lost people in their lives, and I know that they're strong. I know that they can advocate for themselves, and I just love that this passage is lifting up the experience of widows. Mm-hmm. You know, widows in the time of Jesus had a particularly hard time mm-hmm. because they couldn't work. There were limited resources for them. And so often widows would just get remarried. They'd have to remarry purely for the sake of survival. And we can talk a lot about the vulnerability of widows in Jesus's time. We could talk a lot about the pain and the struggle of widows in our own time. But this passage is not about that.
No.
We can talk about that another time, right. mm-hmm. and that's important too. But this passage is about the strength mm-hmm. of widows.
Right.
And I just think that's such a cool thing to mm-hmm. highlight. And I hope that those in our congregation, those women who have experienced the loss of a husband, whatever that loss may be, whether it be loss in death or loss in other ways, mm-hmm. that they mm-hmm. that they see in this parable, that they feel seen,
right,
and recognized for their strength and for their persistence
right.
in faith and trust, even when it's hard.
Yeah, not giving up,
that's
hanging
right.
in there. And I think that's really a message that kind of goes with everything that we've read this week in
yeah.
some way or another. Yeah, don't lose heart, hang in there. Just because things do not change right away doesn't mean things are not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes justice takes a while
mm-hmm.
to manifest, right? I mean, Dr. King, of course, says the arc of history bends towards justice, and I believe that to be the case. And it takes time sometimes
mm-hmm.
for you to begin to see the realization, the reality of that worked out in your life. So
yeah.
Anything else?
I think I have. That's all I had.
that's a good conversation. A great way to end, I think.
Right.
All right.
Why don't you take us out?
All right.
Derek?
Well, I hope that all of you listening have enjoyed today's podcast, and I want to remind you to subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode, whether it's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can click that subscribe button, and it'll automatically download onto your phone so that you don't have to worry about wondering when this podcast comes
mm-hmm.
out. It'll show up, and you can listen
right.
to it. And be sure to share with your friends. You can also rate the show and leave us a review to help others find us. Thank you so much, Beth,
yeah.
for joining us.
No problem.
It's so great to have you here and to hear your perspective. I really I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And thank you all to all of you who are joining us via YouTube or the podcast for this great discussion. And we hope that you feel a little bit better prepared for worship this Sunday and ready to hear these words. So we'll see you next time.